Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Anthony Brooks, and this is On Point. A week ago, the fight sparked a three-day government shutdown. America's vexing argument over immigration has been with us in one form or another for the past century. At issue today, President Trump's decision to rescind an executive order protecting hundreds of thousands of young undocumented immigrants from deportation. Now comes a White House plan to give them a path to citizenship, but also to cut back legal immigration in a dramatic way. This hour on Point, the Dreamers and the President's immigration plan. You can join us on air or online. What do you make of this new plan? Is enhanced border security a fair trade to protect the Dreamers? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. And joining me first from Miami, Florida, is Alan Gomez. He's immigration reporter for USA Today. You can find his latest piece headlined "Trump Immigration Plan Unites All Sides in Opposition." That's at our website, onpointradio.org. Alan Gomez, welcome back to On Point. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me, Anthony.
Yeah, so I want to start with, I'm intrigued by the headline, United in Opposition. But first, take us through the details of this plan unveiled last week by the Trump administration. Give us sort of the broad outline of what it's composed of.
Yeah, what they're proposing is, on the one hand, they would provide legalization and a 10 to 12 year path to citizenship for up to 1.8 million Dreamers. Those are those undocumented immigrants who were brought into the country as children. And in exchange for that, they would get about $25 billion as a down payment for their border wall. They would get an end to the diversity visa lottery, which provides 50,000 visas a year to people from underrepresented countries, mostly in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. And they would seriously limit and cut back on legal immigration into the United States by reducing family-based immigrations. In other words, only allowing Americans to sponsor their spouse or their minor children, and that would be almost a 25% drop in legal immigration. From about a million green cards that we give out a year, they would cut about a quarter of those.
So this is quite a sort of redesign of the legal immigration system. So only family sponsorship of spouses and minor children, but it would eliminate a number of existing categories, including adult children, both married and unmarried, parents of adult U.S. citizens, siblings of adult U.S. citizens. So what's the purpose? What's the idea from the White House behind this major rewrite of the immigration system?
So from their perspective, they made a huge concession, and they did, when it comes to the number of people that would be protected. For the last few months, there's been a lot of talk about only protecting about 700,000 or 800,000 of these Dreamers who were part of the Obama-era Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. That's the one that President Trump cut back in September and that will expire this coming March. And so they said, hey, we're taking this huge step. We're going from about 800,000. We're more than doubling that. We're allowing up to 1.8 million of these young people to stay in the country. But you got to give us something back for that. And so the opposition and the unity in the opposition has been from Republicans and conservatives who say, wait, that's way too many people, as they describe it as amnesty, that this is getting a little out of control, that population is getting too large. And on the Democratic side and the immigration advocacy side, they're saying, okay, we appreciate that, but you can't cut that much in legal immigration. We're not going to give you that much money for the border wall. So this is all an argument that's being based on a matter of degrees and how far both sides are willing to go.
Alan Gomez, let's hear some voices from this debate. First of all, from President Trump, he told CNBC's Joe Kernan on Thursday that he's optimistic that his administration can reach an agreement with Congress over DACA. That's a way to provide a path for citizens for these young immigrants.
We're going to try and make a deal on DACA. we have a good chance of making it. What we need is we need the wall. We need security. We need security at the border. We have to stop the drugs from coming in. We need safety, and we need a strong military. We need almost more than ever before. I mean, we've been in war, so we needed it then. But we need to be sure that our military is properly funded.
And yesterday's on ABC This Week, South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham called the White House's framework on immigration a credible proposal.
We're going to give a pathway to citizenship for 1.8 million Dreamers who have been well vetted. We're going to do something substantial on the border. We're not going to cut legal immigration in half. We'll deal with chain migration in two phases, beginning in phase one. So the bottom line is I'm optimistic. If the president continues the attitude he's expressed in this proposal, if my Democratic friends will calm down, I know it's hard to deal with President Trump. Let's take a deep breath. We can get there.
All right, a deep breath. And speaking of those Democratic friends, here's California Democratic Congressman Pete Aguilar. He told CBS's Face the Nation yesterday that a more narrow focus is needed to pass any immigration legislation.
The most important thing we can do is to protect Dreamers. So I do appreciate that it addresses that issue. Mm-hmm. But some of the changes that they are proposing are devastating to our immigration system, and I feel are better left for comprehensive immigration reform. So let's keep it narrow. Let's focus on DACA fix and border security and move on and get those issues off to the next day.
So some reaction there to President Trump's framework on immigration. Alan Gomez, walk us through a little bit the politics of all this. It sounds like that if this plan were just a path for citizenship for the Dreamers in exchange for big bucks on border security, it might be a simpler path to a deal. But it seems like what's coming up the works is this major rewrite of the immigration numbers. Is that, do you read it that way?
Yeah, and the interesting thing is what you just laid out. I mean, that seemed to be the ballpark agreement that the president had reached with Chuck Schumer and with Nancy Pelosi in the House several months ago. That was kind of the broad outline. It was just, let's get some protections for these Dreamers in exchange for, at the time, it was about $18 billion in border wall funding. But this is what happens every time that the Congress tries to dig into the issue of immigration. If one side's going to get something, the other side needs to get a little bit more, and then the other side needs to get something else. And then what you end up having is a sort of building momentum on both sides, and all of a sudden the bill gets so big and so cumbersome, and there's so many aspects to it that it's hard to get any kind of resolution. I mean, this is a fight that's been going on in Congress for decades.
Yeah.
And right now, from what I see, they are still, both sides are kind of still kind of hunkered down in their positions. And so I just don't see how something that's taken 2 decades and they haven't been able to find any resolution, how they're suddenly going to figure this out in the next 10 days.
So that raises the question. I mean, what happens if they don't figure it out in the next 10 days? Or do you think there'll be another government shutdown? What will happen?
Well, I mean, it's pretty hard to predict what the Democrats are going to do at this point. Obviously, they felt strongly enough about this issue, and they felt it was important enough to protect these Dreamers to, you know, get us to that point where the government ended up shutting down for those 3 days. But then they came back on the assurance that Mitch McConnell and the Senate was going to go ahead and, you know, allow this to move forward. But if that doesn't happen, you know, they backed off after 3 days, so it's unclear whether there's going to be the will amongst all Democrats to really go for a longer and more prolonged shutdown over this. And hanging in the background of all this is, again, March is when these Dreamers really start, these DACA recipients really start losing their protections. So we're getting very close to them to, you know, it's one thing to have this debate in Washington and for the politics of it to really, you know, for them to have that argument. But starting next month, some of them may start getting deported, and there's no coming back from that. So that's why it's so imperative, and that's why they're facing such a time crunch.
One last question before I let you go, Alan. So we're talking about the president's plan, but are there sort of parallel plans being negotiated outside, I mean, away from the president? In other words, are there moderate members of the Senate that are sort of doing this without the president that could produce a plan that might be more palatable to a broader group of lawmakers?
There is no shortage of ideas coming out of Congress on what this should look like. On one extreme, you have House Republicans who have proposed bills that would include far more things on the immigration side, on the enforcement side of immigration, more interior enforcement, more crackdowns of undocumented immigrants, employers, things like that. On the other end of the extreme, there are Democrats who are proposing just a clean DREAM Act. Let's just protect these kids, and then we'll get to border security later. But, yeah, there have been several efforts now going on. Mostly in the Senate, to try to find that middle ground. In the days leading up to the last government shutdown, we saw this group that was a lot of the same members from the 2013 immigration debate: Lindsey Graham, Jeff Flake, Senator Feinstein on the left, some others, Chuck Schumer on the left. They really tried to kind of narrow this down into something that was a little bit more palatable. The president sent them away very quickly. They thought they had reached a good compromise, and so figuring out what that is, it's going to be very hard to do.
All right. Well, Alan Gomez, immigration reporter for USA Today, thanks so much for your work, and thanks for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
Anthony, thank you.
And joining me now from Washington is someone who's directly affected by the president's new immigration plan. Hareth Andrade is a DACA recipient and an activist. She came to the United States in 2001 from Bolivia when she was just 8 years old. Now, you can read about her journey at our website, onpointradio.org. She's pursuing a master's degree with plans to graduate in 2019, which is the same time her DACA status would end. And Hareth Andrade, welcome to On Point. It's really good to have you.
Hi, Anthony. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'd like to get your reaction to the president's plan unveiled last week. He's optimistic that he can reach some kind of deal to protect folks like you. How do you feel about it right now?
Sure. It's reassuring that there are conversations happening, for sure, about Dreamers, about DACA recipients and undocumented families. As of course, DACA is not really, hasn't been a permanent fix. And so any conversation on a permanent fix for people like me is something that gives us hope to be able to remain in the country, because that's what we want.
Right. So just the idea that folks are talking about it in a pretty serious way has to be encouraging at one level. Hareth Andrade, stand by. We're going to come back and pick up and get your personal story. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. Rocket Mortgage is simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
This is On Point. I'm Anthony Brooks. We're talking about immigration and the new plan from the Trump White House to provide a path to citizenship for immigrants who came to the U.S. illegally as children. The plan would also cut back legal immigration in a big way and provide funding for the border wall. You can join the conversation. Are there parts of the proposal you're happy with? Where does it fall short? And I'm talking with Hareth Andrade. She's a DACA recipient, an activist who came to the U.S. From Bolivia as a child. And Hareth, before the break, we were just getting to your personal story. Tell us a little bit about that, a little bit about how you came to the U.S. and your circumstances that brought you here.
Sure. So I did arrive when I was 8 years old with my younger sister and my grandparents. And I guess the plan was to reunite with my parents here in the U.S. But after 2001, it was a bit difficult to have that happen for us. Coincidentally, my parents' visa interview was right after 9/11, and as you know, after 9/11, it just became much harder to for anybody really to come into the United States. So my sister and I waited to reunite with our family for about 4 years, and we knew then that we were going to start our lives here in the United States, and obviously went to school, you know, graduated, And I learned that I was undocumented in high school as I'm applying to colleges and universities and thinking about my future.
So at that point, you're really pretty much considering yourself living in all ways like a normal American kid, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a shock to me to learn that there really just wasn't a pathway for me to become a citizen. And this whole time I thought, you know, I am a U.S. citizen and that's what I want to be. So I started learning that there just was very many barriers. I couldn't actually get a driver's license. I couldn't really travel abroad without being barred from coming back. And I couldn't even apply to college because I didn't have a Social Security number.
Right. So right now, Hareth, you're obviously protected for the time being anyway. But if you were to lose these DACA protections, if Congress couldn't come to some kind of agreement, how would that affect you and your family? Can you spell that out a little bit for us?
Yeah. So DACA really, it has allowed me to work. It has allowed me to continue, finish my, you know, undergrad and continue on to a master's degree. And I definitely have the plan to live in the United States, and I want to be a citizen, right? And so losing DACA really will limit me being able to find a job here. And for my family, of course, as we're looking to, you know, purchase a home and all of these things, many other barriers are sort of coming our way in that sense. And you know, we know our neighborhood. We understand the culture, the language. And so it just becomes sort of a really weird feeling for us to sort of not feel accepted in a country that we call home.
I understand. I want to ask you this. As you know, there is opposition pretty much on the far right to any deal that would grant dreamers like you a path to citizenship. Folks consider it amnesty. So even understanding that you were brought to this country when you were really too little to understand what was happening through no fault of your own, there are people who will say this is amnesty for people who came here illegally. What's your reaction to that?
Right. Well, I think that there are 11.3 million undocumented people. So I think that in some ways we just have to look past the whole amnesty conversation, discussion. Because what we're really talking about is our people who are our neighbors, our families and contribute to the United States and want to be citizens. And so for my family, I understand that if you, you know, contribute to society, you're part of it. And that's what I've done. And that's what my family has shown me. And so the values that we have are American values. And as that, I would hope that people would understand that families who come here and for so many reasons become undocumented, would otherwise leave if they didn't want to continue contributing to this country. And so we're here to do that. So I would hope that people would see that.
Well, Hareth Andrade is a DACA recipient and an activist. And Hareth, we really appreciate your time today and we wish you all kinds of good luck. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And joining me now from New York is Laura Wides Muñez. She's Vice President for Special Projects and Editorial Strategy at Univision's English Language Fusion Network. She's the author of a new book as well. It's out tomorrow. It's called The Making of a Dream, How a Group of Young Undocumented Immigrants Helped Change What It Means to Be American. You can find an excerpt at our website, onpointradio.org. And Laura Wides Muñez, welcome to On Point. It's great to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Anthony. It's great to be here.
Also with us from Atlanta, Georgia, is Gary Marks. He's the founder and president of Madison Strategies, a conservative strategy and consulting group. He's a senior advisor for Wisconsin Republican Governor Scott Walker's political action committee called Our America Revival. He was also a former senior advisor to Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio's presidential campaign. And Gary Marks, welcome to you. It's great to have you.
Hi, Anthony. It's great to be with you and discuss how we can protect dreamers.
All right. Well, let's talk about that. Laura Wides Muñez, I'm going to start with you. What do you make, first of all, of the immigration framework unveiled last week by the Trump White House?
It's definitely a start. We're here now talking about the dreamers, and we weren't doing this several months ago. You have to look back and say that, you know, a few days ago, really, the undocumented immigrants essentially brought our government to a shutdown, which is something that wouldn't have happened years ago. So clearly this is something that has to be addressed. And I think where the president has come out is certainly a start.
Yeah. And a quick sort of assessment from you as well, Gary Marks, from your point of view on the president's plan.
Yeah, it was very much a positive step forward. I was a guy who was a Rubio supporter for president and did not think that we would see this kind of offering of a framework from President Trump. He's somebody that back in December, he said to Time magazine that he would have a good deal for these young people. He said a lot of them have good jobs and so forth. And now we've seen with this offering of a framework specifically for the Dreamers, with a very generous provision of an additional 1 million being in that category that would then be put on a path to citizenship in 10 to 12 years. That was something far beyond what I had even expected from this president. So I was very excited about this in terms of what it offers specifically for those dreamers, because I see those stories all around me.
Yeah.
And this is
Gary,
really positive for them.
Positive for them. But on the other hand, politically, it seems problematic. I mean, we're hearing already a lot of pushback from lots of leading Democrats, and not so much on the border wall money or border security money as efforts to really redesign and cut back on legal immigration, as Alan Gomez was describing earlier in this hour. So how do you view sort of the political prospects of this plan?
Well, I think that's a big issue, because the Dreamers and the issues that we have, people like Hareth, who I feature in my book, you know, that's really a symptom of the broader broken immigration system that we have. And if you look back over the last 20 years, how we got here, they have tried in the past to wed a DREAM Act to a broader immigration reform. And, you know, we're still here. We're still talking about it. Clearly, our country is desperately in need of immigration reform. But do we want to sort of tack on half fixes to a straight bill for the Dreamers? That's really the question right now.
Yeah. Same question to you, Gary, just about the political prospects of this.
There was a Harvard-Harris poll that just came out, and it showed that 65% of people support the president's framework that has the DACA deal included, border security, ending the diversity lottery, and dealing with chain migration. So there is a broad middle, center-right, center-left, that supports this type of plan. We've got 15% on the ends that have their various issues. You know, you have Ted Cruz and Ann Coulter's on one side who are screaming about amnesty. The truth is there is a broad middle. Typically, I think that you're going to see a process where, you know, Senator Rubio said, you know, it might have to be narrower and have some tweaks made to it and be a little bit more focused. But that's what's got to get worked out in Washington with people of goodwill. And there is a deal to be made. And I think Democrats need to grab onto this opportunity rather than, you know, going the shutdown route again.
Well, you mentioned and you used the term chain migration, which some people in this debate don't like that term. But really what we're talking about is efforts to essentially limit family sponsorship to spouses and minor children and eliminate a number of other existing categories, including adult children, both married and unmarried, parents of adult U.S. citizens, siblings of adult U.S. citizens. Gary Marks, this would really entail a pretty major rewrite of the way we have done immigration in this country for a long time. What's the sort of underwriting purpose of that in your view?
Yeah, I think from the center-right perspective, people want to get at the root of the problem. They want to look at the border in terms of a national security question and also deal with the systemic problems of a broken system. I think that we all know that the status quo is broken. So can we achieve something significant for the Dreamers on one hand, deal with this national security situation and a humanitarian crisis at the border as well, and then get at the root of some of these problems. And that's what the president's laid out. It may have to be tweaked and may have to be done a little bit narrower, but obviously a big, generous step for the Dreamers. And that's something where the Democrats have to decide, you know, are they going to protect those Dreamers and get a very generous deal, or are they going to look at potential migration, legal migration, immigration issues for the long term.
Yeah.
That's a tough balance.
And Laura, I want to ask you the similar question. The effort to sort of rewrite family-based immigration policy, how does that strike you? Does that get to the long-term problem, in your view, as Gary was suggesting?
I think the long-term problem is broader in terms of our having an outdated immigration system that doesn't take in for the flows that are coming in, the people who need jobs. And the question is, right now you have sort of an easy fix, pretty much, you know, between the polls, 60-80% of Americans believe that Dreamers, you know, if you've grown up here, if we've invested tens of thousands of dollars in your education, if we're employing you and taking your taxes, that at some point you become part of American fabric and we need to find a way to legalize you. So that's a sort of simple fix. The rest of it is much broader. And when you try to tack it on, it looks like it may drag on both, as Gary was pointing out, both for the Democrats and on the right. And meanwhile, as Alan noted, people are going to start getting deported. And this is a bigger issue. You have temporary work visas. Mm-hmm. You have both farm workers and for high-tech folks. There's a lot of other things that go into immigration reform. And I think the concern is that if you sort of tack on a semi-fix right now, we may not be getting to the root of the problem, and we may even create more problems than we have now.
Listeners, we are talking about President Trump's plan to provide a pathway to citizenship for more than 1 million undocumented people brought to the U.S. as children. As part of that deal, it would also include $25 billion for border protection and a significant rewrite of the current immigration system. What do you make of it? Do you see in the president's proposal the possibility of a deal here? So far, it doesn't seem like that's about to happen in Washington, but things can move quickly and in surprising ways. And let's start with Ilana, who's calling from Charlotte, North Carolina. Ilana, you're on the air. It's good to have you.
Hi, thank you. Good to be in the program. My comment is regarding the so-called chain migration. I don't know how I'm a naturalized citizen.
Right.
And a lot of us do bring our parents when they get to an old age, and we take care of them here where we live. Our parents are part of that so-called chain migration. And I don't know how you can ask Dreamers and tell them, okay, we're going to give you a path to citizenship. You're going to become a citizen, but you're never going to be able to legalize your parents. They're going to have to go back to the country where they came from 30 or some more years ago. It just doesn't make any sense.
Ilana, it's an important point that you put on the table. Let me start with you, Laura, about Ilana's question. You've talked to a lot of these folks, these Dreamers. Is this a concern that would be expressed in the way Ilana just did?
It is. And one of the young women in my book, Maria Gonzalez, deal now, she was sort of one of the early Dreamers and would get up and talk about the issue. And she would express this tremendous nausea she felt at having to advocate for herself and sort of separate herself from her parents. So I know this is actually something that it weighs tremendously on people like Harith and Marie and many others. And yet they understand that the country still views their circumstances differently. But one thing I find when I talk to people, it's interesting, is some people do say, you know, yes, there are too many relatives come in. We don't want all these people. And then when they actually think about, well, you know, do you want the doctor to not be able to bring in her mother or you know, the school teacher or, you know, the person who's starting a business and relies on family, when they actually break it down and think that what applies to these young people as they become citizens applies to everyone, the merit-based from, you know, the doctorates and the stars all the way down. Because, you know, when you're a U.S. citizen, everybody has the same basic rights.
Right. And Gary Marks, I guess one of the big mm-hmm. questions here that this leads to is, what's the right balance, in your view, of immigrants mm-hmm. admitted for their skills and those allowed in because they have relatives here? I mean, because that sort of seems to get to the crux of the impasse, or at least a big part of the impasse.
Yeah, that's right, Anthony. I think the White House is saying that they want to protect the nuclear family by providing visas for spouses and children. So there's not some deportation effort specifically related in that circumstance. They've said the immigration system's really backlogged. You can't get husbands and children into the country because they're busy taking care of distant cousins and aunts and uncles. So they think that their proposal does protect the nuclear family by focusing on them as opposed to extended relatives. So that's the one point. Then ultimately, they do want to move to a merit-based system and follow the examples of other countries around us rather than focus on those family relationships as being the singular driver. And that's got to be much more of a balance rather than the the approach we've had, which is so much merited, weighted on the family as opposed to the merits of the skills, those doctors, those high-tech people. And I think that's what the business world wants to see, that balance better struck. That's going to be better for the economy in the long term.
Gary, we're coming up against a break, but just speak to our caller, Ilana, who spoke sort of quite passionately about, you know, concern about an aging parent would be excluded in this deal, which sounds like a pretty difficult situation for a family to accept.
Yeah, I think that's right. It is a heartbreaking circumstance. There has been a violation of the law at some point, and there's going to be very difficult circumstances. There's no perfect solution,
all right,
but I think we all agree we have a broken system. We got to take steps, at least for the Dreamers, as a first step. That's what I hope to see in the coming days and weeks.
I'm Ophira Eisenberg. Join me on NPR's Ask Me Another as we challenge contestants and celebrities to nerdy word games, music parodies, and ponderful trivia. Find us every week on the NPR One app and wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is On Point. I'm Anthony Brooks. We're examining the president's new immigration plan unveiled last week. You can join the conversation. Does this proposal fix a broken system, or does it create more problems than it solves? Follow us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. I'm talking with Laura Wides Munoz, an author and journalist whose latest book, out tomorrow, is entitled The Making of a Dream, How a Group of Young Undocumented Immigrants Helped Change What It Means to Be American. Also with us is Gary Marks, a conservative strategist and consultant who's in favor of the new immigration proposal from the White House. And we're taking your call. So let's go to Peter, who's calling from Oneida, New York. Peter, you're on the air. It's good to have you.
Hi, Anthony. I don't think the Trump proposal solves the problem. We have a complicated immigration system that is not working well, and it's a very complicated mess. But I applaud the president for putting something on the table that is prompting serious discussion about immigration. I voted for Trump in November of 2016 because he was one of two viable candidates, and I supported Trump to a greater extent than I supported Hillary Clinton. So I was a Trump voter.
Right. So, Peter, if you don't love the plan, and by the way, it's Peter in Oneida, New York, what's missing from it in your view?
I think what's missing from it is a serious discussion of the role immigration would play in the demographics of this country. We are an aging country. We need more young workers. And immigration, illegal immigration, frankly, has provided a lot of low cost, taking advantage of people filling a certain segment of the jobs in the economy. I think we need to have an honest talk about that.
Peter, thanks so much for putting that thought on the table. Gary Marks, respond to Peter's question about really examining who's coming across and I mean, who's coming into this country in terms of fixing that.
Sure. I've lived that because I've seen that in my own community where I live in the suburbs of Atlanta. I've seen a lot of those stories unfold. I'm the president of a local soccer club and see these families pursuing the American dream. And a lot of them have been coming here for low-skilled jobs initially, and they're contributing immensely to our economy. They're contributing in a lot of ways that we do need to have as part of that conversation. I think, though, as a first step, though, we have this time deadline that is approaching in March to deal with the Dreamers first and foremost, and we need to address that first, get at some of the root causes when we look at border security and national security at the border. I think that there is for sure a narrow deal. The question is whether there's an expanded deal that can also deal with the chain migration. I think the polling numbers are there with this Harvard-Harris poll that shows 65% support that type of deal. that polling isn't always represented in the debate in the U.S. Senate and in the House, and that's where it gets difficult. So I tend to think this has got to be a narrower discussion in this first round of problem solving that Washington is trying to do, and hopefully the president will set a good tone at the State of the Union tomorrow night when he addresses this framework.
Yeah, we expect to hear the president addressing this very issue in a big way in the State of the Union address. Laura Wides Munoz, I'd like to ask you, in reading your book, The Making of a Dream, I was struck by just how long this effort has been going on. You begin around the year 2000, and what's striking is how many of the same players are still very much involved in this debate, including names like Senator Dick Durbin, Senator Orrin Hatch, then Senator Jeff Sessions, all involved in a big way. What does that tell you? That a lot of these same players are still at work, trying to work this same issue out.
Well, it tells you that it's not an easy fix. But one thing that is interesting that I really learned in writing the book is how much it was a bipartisan effort from the start, and it really wasn't considered very radical. In fact, back in 2001, this was headed toward the Judiciary Committee. It was going to be voted on, and the hearing was set for September 12th. One day after the attacks.
Right.
So
how
it didn't go anywhere.
Right. And so lay that out a little bit. How did those 9/11 attacks really change this debate?
Well, you went from a situation where the new President Bush was putting John Ashcroft and Colin Powell on a way to actually create a path to citizenship for millions more than the Dreamers, to a space where we were looking how to keep everyone out and terrified that everyone coming to the country was a terrorist. And I think there's still so much misinformation. That's one of the reasons I wrote the book. I mean, even one of the characters is a young immigrant who went to Harvard. And I keep getting questions from people, well, we can just sponsor, why didn't he just get a sponsor, an employer sponsor? And the answer is he can. As Harth said, there is no path. And in other questions, we have all these people coming in under DACA who, are criminals. Well, no, they get background checks. There's just so much that people don't understand. And I hope that in reading the book, it sort of helps dispel a lot of these myths. I mean, one of the things that the caller mentioned also is, that we have all these undocumented immigrants. And if we drastically reduce right now the number of legal immigrants and spots that we're coming in, unless we address some of the other things, as Gary Marks points out, the border security, but also the demand, then what's left? You do have more incentive for more illegal immigration, which is precisely what we're trying to address.
Let's go to John, who's calling from Orangeburg, South Carolina. John, it's good to have you on the air.
Hi, Anthony. I've been listening here, and I've just got a few comments and statements here. One, they are called illegal aliens, okay, or illegal immigrants. It's what the government calls them. It's what they are. Now, I know the left likes to control the language, but how about we, actually tell the truth about what these people are?
So when you're talking about these people, you're talking about the folks that we're talking about, the DACA recipients or the Dreamers. You'd prefer that we refer to them as illegal immigrants.
Americans have dreams as well.
Right.
And these people are running around. If I did one-fifth of what these people are doing in any other country, I would be thrown under jail.
Okay, John, I'm going to jump right in because I think there's a little bit of confusion in your statement. I take your overall point that folks are here illegally. But when we're talking about the Dreamers, we're talking about children who were brought in through no fault of their own and who have been living here for a long, long time. And in many ways are Americans in all ways, except their documentation. And polls show that a huge majority of Americans support a path for legalization, and including Gary Marks, who I think would describe himself as conservative. But Gary, respond to our caller. I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, the overall polls are about 80% say there should be a legal path, and that path could end up at citizenship. This is a bipartisan issue. This is some place where we can find common ground specifically for these kids who, there is not guilt on them because they were underage, they were a minor at the time. And the president has given us a generous compromise package when he said, okay, with that specific group, I'm going to go from not just 800,000 that have registered for the DACA program, I'm going to allow for 1.8 million to be part of that group that could be legalized and then have an eventual path 10 to 12 years to citizenship. But he's demanded that we've got to have a huge reservoir of funding for the wall and the security measures and ICE and judges that would be part of providing security as the balance to that. In addition, you know, chain migration, which, you know, that's a demographic term that demographers have used for 50 years. It is offensive to some. I understand that. Trying to understand how we deal with that as well and move to a merit-based system, that's bipartisanly viewed. And the Harvard-Harris poll, 79% of folks said that we should have an immigration system based on skills rather than family ties.
Right.
So there's some bipartisan ground to be had, and I think we can do this in the next month.
Well, it's good to hear your optimism. Let's take another call from Jamie, who's calling from Boston. Jamie, you're on the air.
Thank you, Anthony. I was wanting to correct the record on something that Mr. Marx had said. He implied that the system is clogged up because we're so busy taking care of aunts, uncles, and cousins. This is legally and factually not true. There is no visa category for cousins. There is no category for uncles and aunts. As it is, permanent residents cannot bring in parents. Only U.S. citizens can apply for parents. And I find it somewhat distressing that the system, which is a very complicated system, is being discussed in some depth by perhaps someone who lacks the necessary understanding of the intricacies of that system. Chain migration is a canard. It's a term that was baked up by, frankly, nationalist think tanks. And it's very, very important to remember that the human beings we're talking about have bona fide relationships to U.S. citizens. We should not be so quick to throw the baby out with the bathwater when so many of the challenges that are, or changes that are being discussed, is more like trying to rip down the whole house.
All right, Jamie, we appreciate the call. Gary Marx, respond to Jamie. I mean, maybe clear up if there is some confusion about who can bring in members of the family and how that works.
Right. And what I'm speaking to was what the new Trump compromise framework would provide, not how it has been, how it will be. I'm not an expert on that proposal. You know, we've all had glimpses at it for the last 48 hours or so. So there's a lot that still needs to be presented. And there are things happening in Washington right now as far as that presentation goes before the State of the Union address. So we all need to find out a lot more in terms of that chain migration proposal and what it would do in terms of family members.
All right.
Because it is a very difficult set of circumstances, very emotional. So I understand where your caller's coming from.
Yeah, and Laura,
one thing that's interesting here is that, you know, the polls show that actually the majority of Americans think that the levels of immigration that we have are either okay or they'd even be open to seeing more. And yet, you know, there's this assumption that we really need to drastically reduce immigration. There's a lot of conversations about what kinds of immigrants. I think there's good conversations that need to be had, and both the left and the right need to be open to having those conversations. But we're sort of having this conversation starting from the assumption that we drastically need to reduce immigration. And I understand the caller's fear and the concerns some people have in America about, you know, their future and their struggle. But many, many, you know, economic studies also show how much immigrants do contribute to our nation across the board, from health, you know, from healthcare workers to, you know, rocket science scientists. And so we just sort of need to not fall into sort of these traps, but really look at what is happening and who's coming in.
Gary Marx, I want to ask you about this point because, you know, looking at some numbers, the president's plan, according to some experts cited by, I'm not sure, this was, I got this from CNN, they've estimated that cutting these categories that the president's proposing would reduce roughly 1 million green cards given out yearly by anywhere from 25% to 50%. So the question I have is that given that so much of American vitality and innovation comes from the fact that this is a country that has welcomed people with all kinds of skills and risk-taking abilities, at what point would you be concerned that efforts to severely curtail legal immigration could negatively impact America's sort of sense of vitality and those qualities that have made it America?
I think the American story is one that is made up of immigrants. That is the American story. But throughout our history, we've had to find that balance. And it's been difficult in this new era post 9/11 when you look at national security issues tangled up in all of this. It's gotten harder. And I think that we all are struggling with that. But the president's plan is a compromise plan that has a huge benefit for the Dreamers and also deals with some of the national security and border security issues at the same time. I think we're at a great spot for this conversation because of that and because of this olive branch that's been given. It may be that we have to have a narrower approach, and this effort on chain migration, as Senator Rubio has laid out, is maybe not able to be part of this, and that's going to be the second step. But let's get this first step right, and we've got to make sure that we are listening to each other and those far ends of the spectrum that are yelling at each other. You know, we've got to tone that down, because there is an opportunity for Democrats and Republicans to make this happen for the Dreamers and deal with border security first and foremost. And again, I'm optimistic about this.
Laura, I want to ask you about the subtitle of your book, which says so much about what you wrote about, how a group of young undocumented immigrants helped change what it means to be American. What does that change look like?
Sure. I think there are two ways. And one is we haven't really talked about, but this is, in a way, an amazing American story of how young people have become some of the most engaged politically in our nation. And, you know, whether immigration is your topic or not, I think these people are inspiring, and they're inspiring as far as what it means to be American, to seek to make this a better country, to seek to be involved, to have your voice heard. And so in many ways, that's how I view it. And then, of course, as I said earlier, I think it's been fascinating to me to watch the change in public opinion toward understanding that, you know, if these kids grow up here and they are in part of the fabric of America, at some point we need to make that official.
Yeah. Well, our time runs short. Gary Marks, I'm going to sort of give the last word to you. As I look at the sort of the political situation today, I'm not convinced that I see a means for the sort of political reality to come out of Washington in the next few days, which is what's required. But you're an optimist, right?
Mm-hmm. I am an optimist. There's also been a stay put on the March 5th deadline by a judge in the Ninth Circuit that could extend that time, give us a little bit more time to work out a compromise plan. But you never know, that could get tossed aside. So we've got to use this month and maybe a little bit more time to make this happen. And the deal is there to be done. We don't want to go down the path of shutdowns. That's not useful.
All right.
We've got to come together.
Gary Marks from the conservative consulting group Madison Strategies, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And Laura Wides-Munoz, author of the new book, The Making of a Dream, How a Group of Young Undocumented Immigrants Helped Change What It Means to Be American. Laura, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure.
And listeners, you can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is On Point.